you're saying that you're really naive about things concerning childbirth and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
To backtrack a ways, when you were growing up in L.A., it sounds like, was your aunt still pretty close to your family?
Oh, yeah. She and my mother were inseparable. Mm-hmm. They were inseparable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned you were something of a tomboy. Is that true when you were younger, too?
Oh, yeah. We played, and I'll never forget, there was a little corner in the backyard. I was always planning something. Mm-hmm. And I'd have my garden, and then, like kids, this day, don't make up games like we made up. We'd get out, and we had a place where we could make mud pies.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd set up bakeries,
mm-hmm.
and we'd design our own donuts and whatever, you know. And we just played, you know, just made up games, and then worked in my garden. I'll never forget, though, one day, we didn't particularly like this little girl. She came over to play, and so we had dug a big hole, and we turned her upside down and put her in head first and covered her up. It's a wonder we didn't kill her, but I guess God was watching us. And then we thought, oh, maybe she can't breathe, you know, so then we took the dirt out and pulled her out, and she was kind of fair complexion, and she was all red in the face, and, you know, and we thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't usually play so dangerously. It was just, I can't remember. It was hide and seek and, you know, our mud pies. And mm-hmm. we played. We had paper dolls. My sister next to me is the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she would design clothes. And we'd make our paper dolls. And then we'd cut some out of books. And then I never forget, one place we lived had a closet from the bedroom go up the steps. Then the closet was just like a room. It had a light in it and everything. That was our favorite place to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have our paper dolls, and they would go on dates, and they would go this place and that place. Mm-hmm. I guess we were kind of fantasizing what we would want to do ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest daughter did the same thing with her dolls. Mm-hmm. She and a girlfriend of hers. You'd hear them talking, and you think that they were talking to boys, but they would be talking for the dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way my sister and I would do.
So what sort of things would you fantasize the dolls doing?
Well, they would be going out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be anything dirty, because we didn't know anything dirty, you know.
Yeah.
So they maybe dancing, you know, or else, I really can't remember what all we fantasized.
Mm-hmm.
I remember dates, because I wasn't interested in dating, but, you know, I guess we kind of used our imagination.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, were you closer to either one of your parents than the other? Or?
I think we were closer to our mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us were.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, I don't know, my mother always seemed to solve everything, you know. When there was a shortage of money or something, and like, you know, she always came up with, like, the holidays, like Easter coming up,
mm-hmm.
and she sewed beautifully,
mm-hmm.
and she would go and get material, and it was always cheaper to get material,
mm-hmm.
and she and my aunt, they were beautiful seamstresses. And so we were always dressed very well.
Mm-hmm.
And any holiday, we always had our new outfit, because there was always a program at church.
Mm-hmm.
And we never failed to appear in our clothes. And we attributed all to our mother, you know, because she was home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy was away working. Of course, we loved him too.
Mm-hmm.
Because for our little 50 cents allowance a week, we'd do his nails, we'd braid his hair, we'd pick his face. We didn't know what we were picking. We'd just take the hairs
mm-hmm.
out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he would lay there, and he just liked us. And then after that, he passed us our allowance, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you had a little money to spend?
Not much. Okay. Usually the 50 cents was for lunch money.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we'd get a nickel or dime extra, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did Did you have certain chores around the house that you had to
do? Oh, yeah. All of us did. Washing dishes and making up the beds, and I guess most of the responsibility fell toward me, because, you know, there were no washing machines in those days, the good old rub board. And of course, as the family grew, the washing grew too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always good at the washing and the ironing. So that was my job, and the cleaning up. Now, my mother did work extra in pictures, but that was spasmodic, you know. Once in a while, she stood in for Ethel Waters, and I think that was the longest that she worked. And that's what made us have the little extras that we got. And so we were a little older then, and it was all six of us then, and we were a little older, so we would take care of the kids when she had to go to the studio. And then the kids worked, too. I didn't. By the time she got into this, I had grown so tall. At 13, I was as tall as I am now, and about this big. And so I was too big to, as a child, but my brothers and my youngest sister, they worked. And then after I graduated from high school, I would take my brother out on the set sometimes, my oldest brother. What was he, about seven? No, he must have been a little older than that. I remember taking him out on the set for about 7 days, and it was heavenly. You know, you had to have somebody in charge of them, but they went to school. They could only work the kids a certain length of time, and they had the catering trucks out there just loaded with food, and I ate and stayed on the bus. I was really a bug about that time. I read all the time. And So I got off the track there. What did you ask me originally?
We were talking about chores around the house.
Oh, yeah. So then, when my mother would leave to go to the studio, well, we all knew what we had to do. And, I'd do the washing, do all the washing, and then she had these tubs, you know, that you take the white clothes and you boil and you put a little Purex, a little bluing in, and boy, I had the whitest sheets in the neighborhood, you know. And, of course, my brother's dirty clothes. And after the girl, after we were a certain age, the ironing was divided up. I ironed my brother's clothes because I was the best ironer, and I really didn't mind, and I think I swept. Now, the sister next to me is a gourmet cook. I never was interested in cooking, so that's the reason I did the others. Now, she would cook. The youngest sister, she could iron pretty good, so she ironed.
Did your brothers have different chores than like
they were too young. They were too young. They never, it never really got around to them ever doing anything. It was just us girls. And when I got in high school, I was taking an academic course. I told my mother I had so much homework, so she eliminated me from doing the dishes, and because that was always the pain. My little sister was such a little pest. We argued so about the dishes, because I think we'd take turns. I'd wash, and the sister next to me would dry. Well, soon as I put two dishes in there, I wanted her in there to dry. She'd be outside playing, "Mother, she's not drying the dishes." So then she changed it, and she said, "Whoever washes has to dry." And, like, you didn't drain your dishes like we do now, and you polished the glass. You didn't have no spots on the glasses either, and you put everything away. We had a habit of soaking pots and hiding them, you know, and she finally caught on to that, and she says, "No more of that." But what would really make us mad, we'd be all through wiping off the counter and the table, everything all put away, and here comes my little sister, "I want a drink of water." "You don't want any water now? You don't want any water?" "I want, Mother, they won't give me a drink of water." "Oh, all right." Then that meant we had to wash that glass and polish it and all over again, because she wanted a drink of water. But she did it every day.
It never failed. You mentioned that did you ever go to see any of the movies that your mother or your brothers and sisters were extras in?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, you never could see them. They'd flash by them. And my sister was in a movie with Shirley Temple, And there was a little scene down by the pond. She had lines to speak, and of course, if you spoke lines, you got paid more money.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so good, they cut it out. They didn't even show it because they said she was better than Shirley Temple.
So, what do you remember? What kinds of parts were they playing?
Well, mostly they were Africans, mm-hmm. you know, because there still was that certain amount of segregation, so there wasn't, you know, like lead bits like the blacks have now, mm-hmm. or so, and so forth. They were made. Well, my mother never played a maid, but it was like atmosphere when they wanted to have a scene, and most of them were African pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I went out on the set one time in her place. It was a night scene, Foxes of Harrow,
mm-hmm.
and Betty Davis, and we were all slaves, you know, and we had on these big dresses, and as the carriage pulled up in front of this scene, we all moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that so many times. I was bored, but then at the time, that was, what were we getting? I think I got about $13
mm-hmm.
for that night. But things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did people ever feel anything about the fact that those were the kinds of roles that were available?
Oh, no. It was really, being at the studio, it was like a vacation for
mm-hmm.
my mother and my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
They just loved going, you know, and of course it gave them both extra money, you know, to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, it was such good work and it paid so good
mm-hmm.
until I think they thought more in terms of the money.
Mm-hmm. And this is during the Depression.
Well, yeah, this is coming on up past the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 29. This is on in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
The 30s and on past the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Because I graduated from high school in 39.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like in there.
Mm-hmm.
Things weren't too bad. There was a period there where my father got laid off from his job and he had to work on the WPA.
Mm-hmm.
And things were a little rough there for a while, but we managed, and seems as though, well, we had a few hard days, but we managed, and then things began to pick up, you know.
In the house where you lived, how many rooms and things could you describe to us? You said you moved a few times.
But. Yeah, we moved a few times. Most of the time, we'd have like a two-bedroom house, like two bedrooms, a living room, dining room, and kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother would kind of fix up like a day bed or something in the dining room
mm-hmm.
for sleeping quarters,
mm-hmm.
and then use one of the bedrooms for the kids, and then a bedroom for she and her and my father.
Mm-hmm. And when you lived in the neighborhoods that you lived in, were you pretty much in an area that was all black, or was it integrated?
Well, when we first came here, it was integrated
mm-hmm.
because about two doors down, there was a family. I never forget this little blonde girl.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think, on the whole, it was mostly black, interspersed with white.
Mm-hmm. Moving to Los Angeles, feel any different from the South?
I was too young to know anything about the way things were in the South. I learned about it later on.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, my mother and my aunt, they knew of things that had happened, and they
mm-hmm.
told me of things that had happened in Little Rock. But Little Rock wasn't as bad as some of the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia,
mm-hmm.
where they had a lot of lynchings. I think my mother said, as far as she can remember, there was one lynching in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, this is just from what they told me, that, you know, they had to sit at the back of the bus. I really don't even remember.
Do you remember any times in Los Angeles, like when you were growing up, experiences or anything that made you feel know, the, well, I mean, in terms of, like, segregation and prejudice and things for boys?
I'll tell you, my first encounter with prejudice was when I went to Sacramento. I must have been about 20 then, and we went to Sacramento, and we had got in that evening, and by the time we unpacked and then stopped and ate, we walked through town. Sacramento's so small, you can walk through town, you know, and we saw a dance place. Well, we had met the porters on the train, and so they had taken us to dinner, and then we were walking through, so we saw a place to dance, and I always did love to dance. And we went in there, and they said, sorry, we don't allow any, they probably said Negroes, because that's what I'm used to, saying Negroes are colored. Now if you say colored or Negro or black or fade, what are you talking about, you know, but I'm from the old school. So, but they let us know that we weren't welcome there. I was a bit perplexed, you know, and especially since by that time I had learned the difference between the South and the West, and naturally assumed that there weren't supposed to be any prejudices out here. And here in the capital of California, you know, but that, I think, was the first time. And then I started running across it during my adult life, you know.
Yeah. So you were, growing up and everything, you really didn't feel like there was that much racism or whatever around you?
No, we were never, at least I was never aware of it. And like in going to school, school was mixed, and I didn't have much choice in where we lived. So that you know, when my mother moved, just I played with anybody, and it didn't make any difference. I really didn't know the difference.
Did in the schools, did you have white friends as well as black friends, or?
Most of my girlfriends were black, but I can remember having some, well, not like girlfriends that visit back and forth and everything, you know. Mostly we stayed to ourselves.
So when you mentioned the church when you got, do you remember which church you went to in Los Angeles?
Do I ever. Watch Chapel, AME Church on 25th and Hooper.
That's one of the older.
Oh, yes. It wasn't a very large church, but it was considered a prominent church during that time. We were, and I was very active in church. Well, I had taken piano lessons, so I played for our junior choir. And our junior choir was interesting because not only did we sing in church, we went different places singing. And we sang sonatas and different things that had very intricate piano accompaniment. And they had Walker's Department Store down 5th and Broadway, and they had a contest one time with different choirs. And I played Inflamatas, you know. And we won honorable mention, but as I say, that made it interesting. Plus, there were boys, you know. I was aware of boys, but I wasn't going to get near them. But the idea, you know, that you could see them and maybe say something to them, you know, but not to get too close.
Were most of your social activities at the time around the church? What kinds of things did they have?
Well, let's see, on Sunday, during Sunday school, I would present an object lesson where I use different objects to bring out some kind of story in the Bible and to illustrate it with these objects. I did that for a couple of years. Then they had forums that they give us a topic, and then we do a little research and we'd speak on it. I was in that. Then they would have the Methodist convention. each year, and I was a delegate for 2 or 3 times. Anything that came up, I was picked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said when I got grown, I was never going to church again. Because first we only had to go to Sunday school,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to walk. Any place we went, we walked. I've had my share of walking. And one Sunday, we were a little late leaving. We could have gotten there on time, but we kind of dawdled. And our Sunday school money, we divided with this little pesky sister. We divided with her, and we said, now don't tell. She waits Monday. We're all sitting at the dinner table. And she says, you know what I got to tell on you? We were not eating. She says, but you know what I got to tell on you? And my mother says, well, if you've got anything to say, say it. They told me not to tell. And we were just hoping she wouldn't tell. But she told. So then mother says, well, not only do you have to go to Sunday school, but you're going to have to stay through church. And it used to scare me, you know, when they would, I guess, you know, feel the Holy Ghost. And Miss Conti, she was a big woman, and she sang. And then finally she would get so moved. Ah! And then they'd fall out in the aisles. It wasn't a holiness church, you know, but they'd all, and then finally, if some of the fallouters were sitting in front of me, ah, you know, and then here come the ushers, you know,
mm-hmm.
fanning and fanning. My mother was usher. My mother was active in church.
Mm-hmm.
And here they come, and it used to scare me because I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing to do but sit there till church was out and just pray, you know, that he'd hurry up and get through. But in the meantime, I was learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. You know, you go and year in and year out, and some of those same principles still stick with me. No matter how hard I try to shake them, you know.
What kind of services did wards have for its parishioners? Did it offer anything in the way of, like, I know some of the churches
said
have, like, nursery schools and things like that.
Oh, no. You sat your babies right in church, and if they hollered too loud, you took them outside and cooled them off and brought them back in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a modern thing,
mm-hmm.
Having nurseries for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Kids were never exempted.
Mm-hmm.
You started bringing your baby to church when he was little, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that was it.
Did they have anything, like, in the way of social services or anything for people, or was it?
No, they really didn't need it, you know. And there was no public welfare then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure though, if there had been any needy person, it seems to me like I do remember the church helping some poor people.
Mm-hmm.
We were never helped.
Mm-hmm.
But seems to me, oh, I know, long about that time, they had, I don't know, you're kind of young, I don't know if you remember McPherson, Amy McPherson,
mm-hmm.
the Salvation Army, and they had these other groups. And what you could do at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you write in to these groups asking for a box.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were selected, they'd bring you out a box. Now, we got a box ever so often.
Uh-huh. But as far as, like, the church was mainly, like, picnics and things like that, you said?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, they had
to be together for people.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was a lot of things going on, picnics and, never any long trips. I think Val Verde was the longest trip, and that was, I can't even estimate the distance now. But it wasn't populated then.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like up in the hills, you know, and
mm-hmm.
we just picnic and